Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, action star and all-around good guy, Frank Grillo, is going to join us to talk about his movies and what he's up to. He's got a lot cooking. News is coming as well, so we'll get into all that. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. Then you got to take your automotive policy and you got to bundle it up with your homeowners or your renter's insurance and save a bunch of do-re-mi at Geico. Geico makes it easy for you to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy Geico can make it to bundle when you go to geico.com.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Stranded.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Frank Grillo has joined us. The new movie Cop Shop in theaters, that is this Friday, co-stars Gerard Butler, and written and directed by Joe Carnahan, who's been a guest on the show a few times. Good to see you, Frank. I've been a fan of yours for a while. I'm glad we finally made this happen and got you on the program. I think we have some history in common. We both used to do a little boxing back in the day.
Yep. I'm same thing. Everybody keeps telling me, why have not you and Adam Carolla talked to each other? I know we have a lot of mutual friends too.
We definitely do. So I'm glad we made this happen. Congratulations on a Cop Shop. I saw the trailer. Gene and Brian saw the film. I did not. My link screwed up, but the trailer's amazing. So I'll let Gene and Brian heap a little. Well, Brian, heap a little praise on Cop Shop, and then we'll move on.
You know, it was what it was, Gina.
No, you know, I loved it. I liked it.
By the way, you're exactly right. I mean, it is what it is.
It's a very fun movie.
In the best possible way, I saw, you know, I looked it up. Like, oh, Joe Carnahan and Frank Grillo, I'm into it. I'll give it a shot. Exceeded my expectations. It kind of starts out a little tropey. You're like, okay, I know who this person is. I know who this character is. I know what this is. But by the middle, it's like a real cat and mouse movie. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is an antagonist who comes halfway through the movie who is just a delight. I wanted a whole movie about this person.
He steals the movie. Yeah, he and Alexis Lauder steal the movie. Me and Butler are two shitheads.
So, Frank, I want to talk about your amazing fitness regimen. And also, as I was thinking about it, you know, traditionally, if you're going to start coming into your action prime, if it doesn't rear its head by 33 or 34, usually that ship has sailed. But we're living in a new world filled with keto diets and Grecian formula where everybody has you never say never anymore. But tell us your workout regimen. Tell us how you get your – Frank's in fantastic shape. But
I am in exceptional shape. No, I primarily have a boxing workout. I train with my buddy Justin Fortune, who trains Manny Pacquiao every day. We train 2 hours. I train like a professional fighter. I eat like I would be fighting. And I keep in really good shape. Speaking of keto, I'm basically a paleo guy. I drink a lot of wine, a lot.
Now you're talking. Mm-hmm. Well, you're Italian. You have to.
That's paleo-ish.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So, but other than that, I mean, it's, you know what it is? I don't eat a lot. I don't eat very much. I'm not an overeater. I come from a really fat, disgusting Italian family. So it was kind of, I was Pavlovian. I just can't eat. It just makes me sick.
I come from a thin, disgusting Italian family, so.
That I have no regard for food.
I'll meet you halfway. But yeah, I tell people that all the time. You eat way too much. Not you, but one does. Like, and there's all these kind of wives' tales where, you know, they always, anytime somebody tries to draw an analogy to an automobile, they're always wrong. They go like, well, you wouldn't leave on vacation with nothing in the tank, would you? It's like, no, you wouldn't drive to the Grand Canyon on an empty tank,
when
would you?
You put it that way.
And then at some point, they'll get to the toxins in the radiator, building up with the toxins, building. You got to flush it out.
You need an oil change.
You got to put a hose up your ass and fill it full of coffee. That's how you flush the radiator. You get the toxins out of the radiator. But we've spoken, I can't remember the gentleman we're speaking to on this show, but he runs marathons with no breakfast. Yes.
Nothing.
Gets up, has a cup of coffee, runs a marathon.
Yeah, I think it was taking me.
Right. That's
same. I train empty. I don't do it. I don't like having food in my stomach. It clouds your brain too. You get a little foggy, you know. I have more energy from not eating. You don't realize how much shit you have stored in your body.
Right.
And I have more energy and I think better too, and I'm not filled with nonsense.
A gasoline gets into the battery and it's bad news.
Right. Yeah, so, no, it was a weird thought, but I know it from when I used to do construction. So, when I was poor and I was a bachelor and I would get up in the morning, I didn't have time for making an omelet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was always just granola, and then the granola tasted like shit. So it was like skim milk or non-fat milk, granola, and then you put a bunch of honey or something on it.
All wrong.
And you just do this huge carb dump, right? And then I would drive to work at 6:30 in the morning, and by 9 or 10 in the morning, I felt like I'd been shot with a curare dart in the neck. Like, I wasn't bored. I was having trouble keeping my eyes open. Yeah. And people don't realize what carbs do to you. They make you sleepy during the day. They bring it. So,
like sugar in the gas tank.
Like sugar in the gas. You wouldn't do that.
Finally.
So I don't think people really understand. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, they think the opposite, which is if you're going to go swing a hammer all day, you got to put something in the tank. You got to run off of that energy.
You definitely shouldn't watch Toddlers and Tiaras. They drink something called Tinker Tea, which is Red Bull, and they put pixie sticks in it for the little girls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's abuse.
But that's what happened after the Industrial Revolution. People decided they needed to eat like pigs. And we all got really fat.
Yeah,
evidently dumb.
So what is just because I always ask all the super in shape people kind of their regimen. What is your normal day for Frank Grillo in terms of eating?
Normally, like today, I wake up. Today I had my kids. I'm a single dad, so today I had one of my kids. So I wake up. I take care of him. Take him to school. Feed him. Blah blah blah. I go to the gym. I wear a sauna suit, which is a rubber sweatsuit, so you keep everything in. I train for about 45 minutes, bag work and stuff, jump rope, get in the ring, work with my trainer for about 45 minutes to an hour, get out. Then we do strength and conditioning, which is weights. One thing really heavy and then like a circuit. And that's my life every day. When I'm on a movie, I usually have a trainer with me. And, I make sure I have time to do that. If I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
What are you wearing the bag suit? I mean, like a wrestler trying to cut weight or a fighter trying to make weight, just to sweat it off?
I grew up wrestling when I was a kid through college, and then did jiu-jitsu and competed and stuff. I love the idea of overheating my body. And actually I'm sure a bunch of bullshit. My doctor has said to me that he believes, because I've been exposed to a lot of COVID. I got a buddy who's a comedian, Brian Callen, who came back, had COVID, gave it to my girlfriend, his kids, and I didn't get it. And then my girlfriend had it. I still didn't get it. My doctor actually thinks there's something to be said for overheating your body.
Oh, interesting.
To be fair to Brian, he didn't have sex with all of those people.
Right.
Just to be fair.
Yeah. Close contact.
I'm trying to think of that stuff. When I used to box, they had a cream called Abilene.
Yeah, Abilene. I use Abilene as well. And basically, it's petroleum jelly, and it blocks your pores from being able to breathe, and your body just you raise your body temperature.
Right.
Which is actually really good for you. It's actually good for you. We have, I don't want to sound scientific because I'm not, but we have something called brown fat cells, which stores fat, which never really gets used. And that's a way to get your brown fat cells working. Mm-hmm. And you use all that stored energy.
Man.
Oh, shit.
Brian, speaking of brown fat cells, what's the name of that comedian who collapsed?
Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence. Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, Martin Lawrence.
You brought it up. I said the
That's
name.
Racist shit.
Yeah, Martin, he had one on.
He bagged up and collapsed. Yeah, jogging on a hot
It had nothing to do with the eight ball of cocaine.
No.
Got to get going.
Sorry, go ahead.
One of the things I was most impressive about the movie Cop Shop was you're a physical guy. You know, you do well in physical movies. Boss Level was awesome, by the way. You were super in that. But in this movie, not only are you wearing the long sleeve shirt and the vest the whole time, you're basically in a cell for 75% of your scenes. Like, you had to rely on your acting as opposed to, you know, the physicality, which, of course, is an aspect. You know what I'm saying? You got away from that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the movies that I do a lot of pay me really well. And, you know, I'm a father of three kids and I'm divorced and they're fun to do and I can do them kind of falling off a log. But when some stuff, like I'm going to Rome, Italy Wednesday to play with Lamborghini. I'm going to play Lamborghini. I'm Ferruccio Lamborghini.
Ferruccio Lamborghini? Are you, what? How come this isn't on my rundown? I got a million thoughts about Lamborghini.
Let him finish his thought.
I know.
Sorry.
And Bobby Maresco, who wrote Crash, wrote the script. It's phenomenal. Oh, wow. I'm actually scared shitless to go do it. But, you know, it's fun to get away from all the physical stuff. You know, it's fun to kind of just not have to sweat when you're working all the time.
Yeah.
Well, now we got to talk about Lamborghini because I've owned six vintage Lamborghinis over the course of my life.
Gene, I'll meet you by the
comment. Yeah, I'll be right back.
I had two Miura S's, one Miura SV, if you want to get out the Abilene and rub one out. I've had a 350, which is his first car.
First car, yeah.
And then I had a 400, I've had two 400, two plus twos, which is the next car. And
if you saw James Franco's perfume ad,
you saw
yes, James Franco borrowed my 350 to do some Dior ad or something.
Do you still have all those cars?
No, well, I have one Lamborghini 400. The Muras I had to sell to pay for Paul Newman's 935 Porsche that he ran at Le Mans. So I had to sell some. To get some. But and you can come over. We're in the valley. You can come by and take a look at them anytime, you want.
Yours is like the perfect sports car. That's the car, right?
Yeah, and the most beautiful.
I'm actually going to Emilia Romagna, where he's from, to shoot the first half of the movie, and then we go to Rome. But I'm kind of a mutt. Like, I'm going to play another human being, like an iconic, you know him, Ferruccio Lamborghini. And it's a little daunting. I'm a little nervous.
I'll assuage your fears for a second. If you're going to do a movie, let's say Ford v. Ferrari, and then you're Matt Damon, and you got to play Carroll Shelby, a lot of people know Carroll Shelby. There's a lot of footage of him being interviewed and pictures and things like that. And then it's a tall order. Ferruccio Lamborghini, everyone knows the name Lamborghini, but no one's going to go, that's not Lamborghini. Yeah,
that's not the Lamborghini I know.
That's why I'm doing the movie, because when I started to do the deep dive and check out who Ferruccio Lamborghini was, I'm like, there's like six pictures of him. You know, one is on a tractor. That's it. You know, he's not Enzo Ferrari, the sexy industrialist.
Right. Well, Lamborghini famously was an industrialist who built tractors and made a lot of money in Italy selling tractors. He got rich. And when you get rich in Italy, you got to buy a Ferrari.
Right.
So he bought a Ferrari, but he didn't like the way, I think the thing kept going through clutches.
The clutch.
And the story is he dropped the transmission in it and found out it was the same clutch they were using on his tractors. And this guy's rich and he's a builder. So he goes to a Ferrari and he goes, hey, I got a few notes on how you could improve your product. Ferrari being Ferrari tosses him out of his office. And then he goes, well, now we're going to build a car that's going to beat the Ferrari, or it's going to be a better car than the Ferrari. Yep. And now we have the Lamborghini, and we should thank, I always say this, we should thank, you know, everyone's kind of like, well, Ferrari was kind of a hard head and a bit of an asshole and blah, blah, blah. we have Ferrari. We can thank Ferrari for Ferrari. We can also thank him for Lamborghini because he created it. And we can thank him for the Ford GT40.
That's right.
Because if he didn't piss off Ford, they wouldn't have wanted to beat him at Le Mans. We would not have the. He's created so many great cars, either through his own hands or being a douche.
Yep.
Feel free to use that.
No, that's exactly the story. That's the basis of, that's the genesis of my half of the movie, is that exact story. And Alec Baldwin was going to be Ferrari, which is odd. But he had some scheduling problems, so I'm waiting to find out who Ferrari is going to be.
Jonah Hill, I just read on the internet.
Maybe Jonah Hill.
No, so I've always loved these stories. I've known the stories, had the old Lamborghinis and everything. I always thought these were very interesting stories, but Hollywood was always kind of like, we're not doing car stuff. You know, we'll do Fast and Furious, whatever, but we're not doing like real stories. But then maybe Ford v Ferrari kind of opened the door to some of this. I think they're working. Sure. Maybe there's a Shelby biopic. I did a Shelby documentary and a Ford versus Ferrari kind of documentary before the movie and all that kind of stuff. So I've always kind of been on it. But I think the success of that movie has kind of opened this up.
Yeah, and this is a straight away, you know. Like, it's about a guy who sacrificed his entire life to make the best car, right? And but it's pretty much straight away what you just said. Like, that was the genesis of what made this guy turn into Lamborghini. And you know, it's about him and his family and blah, blah, blah. But it is a straight drama about Lamborghini and, you know, with me. Like, it's not, you know, George Clooney. I mean, it's like... not an easy sell.
Well, I haven't looked at the archival photos, but I don't think Lamborghini was jacked.
So you're gonna have to wear some layers.
I'm gonna wear clothes.
Yeah,
boom! So, you just lost the ladies, Frank.
And I'm not very big. I'm only 160 pounds. So
you weigh 10 pounds more than me.
But are you going to, you know, I mean, not go, you know, full metal jacket with
D'Onofrio,
but are you going to let yourself go a little bit?
Christian Bale,
you know
advice.
What I mean?
Plump up a little.
Here's the deal. So this came about last week. I have to go to Rome Wednesday. This came about last week. Banderas had to drop out of the movie because his movie ran late and he has a conflict. So my agents at CAA called and said, you're being offered this Lamborghini role. Banderas can't do it. I'm like, who did you just call? You know, it's me. Like, what? And I like, send me the script. And Bobby Moresco, who won an Oscar for Crash, wrote the script. And I'm like, wait a minute. You sure you want me to do this? And I talked to him. He goes, I think you're actually better than Banderas for this. I'm glad he dropped out. Like, you know, you're Italian and there's something about you. I think, you know, I went, you know, he said, this guy had a screw loose and I think you have a screw loose as well.
Right.
This might work out.
Stop there.
I don't have enough time to even, like, I have an accent. I speak a little bit of Italian, but, and I don't have to speak Italian. It's got broken English, but I'm not worried about that. But it's just the thought of, like you said, it's a good thing no one knows this guy. Like, I get to do whatever I want, really.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
Did you have a conversation with your agent, which would have been the first any actor ever had with his agent, which is, all right, I'll do Lamborghini. Give me a few weeks to get out of shape. You got to buy me 3 weeks.
Also, that's a good bucket list for you, Adam, and your agent calling and saying, Banderas can't do it. We need you.
Yes.
Well, here's the funny part. I, up until last week, was leaving for Malta on Friday last week to go do this kind of Bourne Identity movie. So I'm in really, like, good shape. Like, I've been training for 3 months. And in the 11th hour, the movie fell apart. Oh. And so it's over. And so then I was clear, and I got this call to go do this. And I'm like, well, I probably don't. I mean, am I going to have my clothes on? Off at all? And they go, no, you're not going to have your clothes off. You'll be dressed. So it doesn't really make a difference. But it does. You know, it's funny, Adam, you say that, because when you're in a certain shape, you kind of carry yourself a certain way. You know what I mean? It's like.
Sure.
Yeah. I wish I was a little pudgy.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears. I mean, I could come over and coach you up on that. Or come by and watch football with us on Sunday. There's nothing but fine. Pringles and Entenmann's and IPAs flowing.
What if you rebranded yourself as like the anti-fitness coach?
Yeah.
You know, that's your new career path.
Well, I'd be like those moves.
You're in good shape.
I'm in okay.
Oh, yeah, but he's the coach.
I'm in okay enough shape, but I don't do as I do as I say, or something like
those
that.
Those can't do teach.
You should give him the free tip that you use. Always wear your bathrobe around and put a beer in each pocket.
Uh-huh. That's how we get started.
I don't have a bathrobe, but I'll get
problem number
yes.
one.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this new offering, this Lamborghini offering, and yes.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you're not laughing.
At no, first off, I've owned his first car, the 350, the GT 350 or the 350 GT is the first car he ever built. That's the one he went to say Ferrari. And because I'm a gearhead, I've studied the car and it's really clear, which is, and I won't get into the weeds too far here, but the Ferraris of the time had V12s and he had a V12. But these were the Ferraris were like the Ferrari Lusso. You know, it had three carburetors and two cams. Lamborghini has six carburetors and four cams.
Gina, stop passing him notes.
Like, he literally just went, whatever you're doing, I'm doing it better.
I'm doing it better. And because he wanted a 3.5 liter engine, they didn't know how they were. And they only had 6 months to get to the Geneva Auto Show with this car. And it wasn't even thought of yet, except he knew he needed to stuff all that in a car in a 3.5 liter engine.
Yeah, whereas the Ferrari would have been a 3 liter at the time.
Yeah, but it was it's fascinating. Like the guy, he would like he thought anything was possible. Anything, he could, whatever. Like he would, and he stole all the engineers from Alfa, from Ferrari, from Maserati, and they said it's impossible. It's impossible to do this. And he goes, why? We can do this.
He was Elon Musk paisan. Now, were you doing Jay Leno's garage? Were you doing an appearance on that?
I did it. Yeah, we did a whole like day where we played like me and Jay were in an action movie. And Chevy, you know, they have this new truck that they sold to the government that replaces the Humvee. And they brought that down for us to use. So it was really kind of cool. But, you know, that guy knows more about cars. I mean, you probably know as much about cars
no, than he does. No, I don't. I don't. Nobody knows as much about Jay. Jay knows about cars, I should say.
It's crazy. I said, how many cars do you have? He said, registered?
You know, the thing about Jay, and this is kind of how it goes. You can talk to car guys. But car guys, pardon the pun, pick a lane.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're the Mopar guys. Right. And they know Dodge. They know 440 six packs and Hemis and Challengers and Chargers. As soon as you start talking to them about old Lamborghinis, they don't know jack shit.
Right.
Or 510 Datsuns. They don't know jack. Well, Jay is interested in all cars.
All things on wheels.
So he's got electric cars that are 110 years old. He's got steam-powered cars. He takes it all the way through. American, European, Japanese, it doesn't matter. He didn't declare a major. Mm. Most guys who know a lot about cars, they know about one kind of car or one make, right. And then as much as the average person about all the other cars, even
and
less
bikes.
Sometimes.
And bikes. He knows bikes. Bikes. Got a bunch of bikes, too. I mean, it's fast. I believe that he did the Jay Leno show seriously, just to buy all the cars that he needed.
Yeah, and he had a pretty bad Coke problem. But a lot of that money, some of that money did go to cars. Frank is right. Yes, he's crazed, and he knows so much about it, and he knows I know about it, and then he speaks to me in a shorthand, and it's so deep, I don't even understand what he's talking about. So, he is a damn treasure. So for you got to be thinking about getting something cool in your garage as long as we're talking about cars.
You know, it's so funny because I'm such a poor kid. Like I grew up poor and I'm so afraid of not having money that the idea of spending money on an extravagance like that is so kind of far-fetched. Mm. Did you see the movie Boss Level?
Yes.
You know that car, there's that Hellcat that's chopped?
Yes.
So Dodge sent me one of those, and I chopped it. It's in my garage. And so I have this hot rod that has no top. It's a roadster. And
hold on. For Gina and her fans, chopped means lowering the roof.
Oh, they didn't just take a hacksaw to it?
Yes. They just take 3 inches out of it. They drop the roof line on it.
But I'm imagining when I go to Italy, because I'm going to go to the factories and stuff, and I'm going to go to his home, I'm going to want to buy a Lamborghini.
That's a write-off. That's field research. Yes.
But I don't want a new. I don't want one of the Lamborghinis that like my neighbors up here in Doheny drive. I want what you had, like those. You know, one of those cars, one of those classic cars. But I don't know. That, I mean, they're ridiculously expensive.
All right. Well, here's the price breakdown. If you want to talk to your accountant after the show, the Miura SV. Who knows? $3 million 3.5 That's up there. Miura P, first one, or Miura S, they swap around a little. The S's used to be more than the P's, now not so much. 1.5 to $2 million bucks for those. But the 350, the first car, still out there for 550 to 650.
Really?
Yeah, they're not as much as they should be. They should be $1 million car. They're not. They've hovered around $500,000 bucks for a couple of years now. So you can get a good a good 350 GT, the first car, for I'd say anywhere between 5 and 675, depending on the example. And the 2+2, which almost looks exactly the same as the 350. It's just a 4 liter. It's got a back seat. I'd say 335 to 550, depending on the example.
Okay. So there now you go. I know now I know where I'm going.
Yeah,
no, I know.
Start with that. All right. You want to hang out, Frank, and do the news with us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Frank Grillo right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden.
The news with Gina Grad.
Hey, can I jump in with some breaking news?
Yeah.
Our friend Brad Williams just texted me, as have several people. Breaking news, USC fires Clay Helton.
Really?
At long last, our national nightmare is over. Clay Helton has been fired as USC head coach. Why they'd wait until two games into the year? No one knows. But then again, no one knows anything what USC does. So we can move on and rebuild.
Okay. I got breaking news. Okay. You can get a Lamborghini Islero for $250,000 to $350,000, Frank.
But Clay with his buyout can get a couple of those.
Yeah, and I'm not going to point you toward a Countach. Let's stick with the old school stuff.
Well, this, I'm sorry, is breaking news like so over now, or can I do it too?
Oh, well, around the horn.
We just got, I got a news alert from TMZ that there was a major skirmish over between Bears and Rams fans at our very own SoFi Stadium. I'm just going to read this right from TMZ because it literally just came over the wire here on my phone. Several Bears and Rams fans got into a wild brawl Sunday night with multiple men throwing and landing massive haymakers. The violence was all captured on video. Oh, good. We'll watch that in a second. The calamity all started at the beginning of LA's game against Chicago when one witness says Bears fans got into a verbal argument with several Rams fans for cheering the action on the field. Then they said things got so aggressive, security stepped in and made them switch seats, but that's not where the action happened. After the game, some of the men ran into each other inside the concourses at this new arena, and it didn't take long for fists to start a flying. Let's see some of this brawl.
All right. This is...
go ahead.
We're in some sort of weird New World Order where the stadiums are more modern, but the people are going more Cro-Magnon. Like the stadiums are state of the art, but the people are old school morons.
Yes.
It's weird, and also it's weird because in the context of like all these old stadiums from the 50s and the 60s, these guys throwing down felt kind of Andy Cappy.
Yes.
Now there's so much terrazzo and brushed nickel around, and these guys are still throwing down.
Yeah, and apparently, and we'll see if we see it in this clip, all these guys are fighting, and there is so much violence that you start seeing blood smeared all over people's shirts and the wall. We're watching right now just tons of dudes.
They're just fighting in the hall right now?
Yeah.
This is the first game they've had people in the stadium, right?
Oh, that's good. And, of course, half of them are fighting and half of them are filming.
Jesus.
Right.
Take it to the ground.
Yeah. And there's different... It's like it's separate wrestling matches. That guy got a kick in for no reason. There's like four different little spats going on.
It's like, first off, everything is being filmed. It's all being noted. I would say the same thing to these guys as the guys who showed up to the Capitol on the 6th. There's cameras. They can find out who you are, and you can be banned or jailed or whatever. And all this does, all it does is make booze more expensive for those of us who want to catch a buzz and not fight.
I was going to say, like the people who showed up at the Capitol on whatever, January 5th or 6th, these people showed up ostensibly to watch a game. They're really there to fight.
Yeah.
They probably went there like hoping to get into a fight, or at least in the mood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're 45 years old.
So what?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They saw Boss Level one too many times.
Come on. There's a bunch of 22-year-old millionaires playing on the field, and these idiots are beating each other up.
Also, I wonder if it's a general girth thing, because these guys are big.
Thick.
They are thick dudes. And
they're carb loaders.
You do have a certain sense of, well, how bad is this punch to the midsection going to hurt with all this butter bean padding I got on me?
It.
Also, a lot of people don't do the breakdown between fat and muscle. They just go, I'm 6'1", 285. Yeah, 285 of what?
Taco Bell.
285 of, yes, of grande beef.
Bell beefers.
Bell beefers, yeah.
Yeah. And they also forget about their pants already are low.
Yes.
And that they come beneath the crack and
there's a lot of ass crack, a lot of belly showing.
And like you said, not only is this why we can't have nice things, this is why we can't have affordable things.
But do you wonder, like in the animal kingdom, like I was just on Catalina and they got the bison out there. The big bulls are just big and fat and buff, you know what I mean? And they just go at it with the other. Do you think the general girth is turning it into like a big sumo match or something? Because it does seem.
Literally ramming.
There was 14 guys here and none of them were under 220 pounds, right? No. And they're drunk.
Yeah. And they're just kind of like you saw that guy was being kind of lazy, looked around, huh? And then just kicked a guy and kept walking.
Right.
People are gross. So we talked, I think it was last week, that LAUSD here in Los Angeles is doing vaccine requirements for kids 12 and older. Well, New York, their public school is conducting what Fox News is referring to as the nation's largest experiment of in-person learning during this pandemic. So the start of the school year coincides with several milestones in the city. Nearly all of the city's 300,000 employees will be required to go back into the workplace in person today as we record this. As the city ends remote working, this is happening. Most will either need to be vaccinated or undergo weekly COVID-19 testing to remain at their jobs. There will also be a vaccine mandate with no test out option for teachers, though they will be given until the end of September to get their first shot. Also, no more remote learning as an option. So you must go back to school, you must get vaccinated, and you must move forward.
I think a lot of the unions are going to fight this.
I would think.
I know the Postal Carriers Union were like exempt from the mandatory vaccinations. You have a good union, and B, your union gives a lot of money to the people that are making the fucking rules.
Right.
So you get to opt out of shit magically, where everyone else has a business with over 100 people and it has to comply.
Right.
So there's like 500,000 mail carriers and they're exempt. But you who runs a business is not exempt because they got a union and they can't just tell everyone in the union, hey, do this. The union goes, nah, we're going to take a vote on it.
Well,
but Chris, you can look. Is LA Unified, is their union, are their teachers are going to sign off on we're all going to get vaccinated or we can't go back into the classroom? Because I would assume they would put up a fight, too.
Oh, of course. And well, about going back anyway. But Fox says that about 2/3 of the city in New York, of the city's 12 to 17-year-olds, are currently vaccinated.
2/3?
Like a lot.
Seems like a lot for that age group.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Well, how? Well, anyway.
The union supports the board's decision.
Oh, they do. So LA Unified, they're all going to get vaccinated and then go back? Or they are back? Or whatever.
They're back.
They're back.
No, they're back.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
My kids that are in school now are 13 and 17.
Yeah.
And they go to ridiculous private schools.
So did they ever close?
They closed.
They did.
Yeah, they closed. But they opened early. They opened in August. But they're vaccinated. My kids are vaccinated. My ex-wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, got them vaccinated without telling me.
Oh.
I took my kids to... Well, actually, the plan I have is my son walks to school, and then my daughter, I drive her to school because she doesn't want to get sweaty. Unlike Uncle Frank over here,
who doesn't want
to get sweaty.
Isn't she a varsity
volleyball player in season?
I don't know.
She's a varsity volleyball
player? Varsity volleyball in the 10th grade, so she's doing good. I don't know. She don't want to get sweaty. Fine. I drove her to school. I drive her in my bathrobe, by the way.
I'm not a weird
Maserati.
In my Maserati. Lamborghini. No, I wear trunks under the bathrobe.
That's
I'm not a
nice
weirdo.
Of you, yeah.
But I drove her in the bathrobe, and then I get the call from my son, like, hey, could you pick me up? You know, it's so funny when people give you bullshit. I'm the worst guy ever for that, because my son walks to school. Then he get the call going, can you pick me up halfway to school? And I'm like, why? And he goes, well, I'm running late. And I go, why? And he goes, well, I was walking down the driveway this morning. Guy stopped me at the end of the driveway, asked me for directions. Now I'm late.
Was it 10 minutes?
I said, yeah. How long did that go on? I don't know, 5-10 minutes. No, it didn't. You left late. That took 21 seconds.
Good story.
Yeah, but helpful. Nice. Yeah. So I end up driving them both.
I would be very concerned if your child stopped to talk to a stranger for 10 minutes who was probably trying to lure him into a car.
A van, but
okay,
go ahead.
Same. So another update, a sad update on this damn fentanyl thing. TMZ reports that Logan Williams, he was best known for his role on the CW series The Flash. He died of a fentanyl overdose. Canada's British Columbia Coroner Service says the 16-year-old died from an unintentional illicit drug toxicity. Fentanyl. The manner of his death has been listed as accidental. Like I said, according to the coroner's report, he struggled with mental illness and concerns of a history of consuming illicit substances. But this seems like another I didn't know it was fentanyl situation.
Everyone's going to OD from fentanyl who's doing street drugs because they make it into every form of a street drug. And they're using it... they're basically using it like bad restaurants use bacon. They're just putting it on fucking everything.
Right.
And but we don't know it.
Right.
And so there's going to have to be fentanyl testing kits. Like people, streetwise, you know, savvy drug users are going to have to start testing shit.
That's interesting. But we're not really a nation that's like, well, if you're going to do it, here's a testing kit. You know,
no,
we're like, you're on your own if you're doing drugs.
Well, somebody's going to have to, some entrepreneurial whatever is going to have to figure something out, because every week there's a story about somebody ODing because of fentanyl.
My buddy just passed, Michael K. Williams.
We talked about him.
Who I did a movie with about drug rehabilitation centers. He I guess he was doing some drugs and boom.
What's the movie?
It's called Body Brokers. It's about recovery places and how much of a scam it is. And,
interesting.
Michael K and I were in the movie together with Melissa Leo, and he just passed away last week from fentanyl.
Yeah. Were you aware that he may have had an issue? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think everyone.
You know,
was.
Look, if you're still doing cocaine at 54 years old, you got to start. You got to start questioning, do I have a problem?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, we don't know what's in the cocaine anymore.
Yeah, super sad. And I didn't realize how many people knew him and how beloved he was until his passing
because my gosh.
Really sad.
Yeah, it's sad. It's terrible.
Someone we haven't heard about in a while is getting sued. Cesar Millan, dog whisperer. He's being sued by a young woman who claims that his pit bull attacked her and ended her promising future as a star gymnast.
Oh.
Lydia Mattis says in 2017, she went to her mother's office building, which was owned by Milan, was bitten on the leg multiple times by his pit bull, Junior, who was allowed to just roam free off the leash. He could have used your, just put the leash on.
Just let the leash hang. Yeah.
I remember Junior from the show. He was like the sweetest dog. He'd bring him to like train other dogs.
Was he? Because she suffered severe leg injuries, and now the young gymnast claims she can't compete. Her lawsuit also argues that Junior was known to have a violent past and even killed Queen Latifah's dog.
Really?
Yeah, that's a TMZ's reporting.
That's a hate crime.
That is a hate crime.
Milan has responded to this. He argues that Mattis understood the risk of walking into the office building and also maintained his story that Queen Latifah's dog died after it was struck by a car, a claim which Mattis insists is a cover-up. We don't know how much she's suing for.
Well, how much earning potential do you have as a gymnast?
Wheaties boxes.
Yeah, because there's really no real market
right.
for getting paid. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say I was going to enter Cirque du Soleil or something
Sure.
like that. There's some Vegas version of that that maybe you could get paid for, but it's really hard to say what your potential earnings were.
Yeah.
From being a junior gymnast.
It is interesting, though, that if your big argument isn't my dog's sweet, she's lying, it's she knew the risk of walking in the building.
Yeah, you know, you walk into a commercial office building, you'd be mauled by a mountain lion or a bobcat or a puma.
Who among us doesn't know that?
Yeah.
That's on her.
Feral cat.
That's right.
Leopard.
You got dogs, Frank?
I got two Cane Corsos. Do you know what they are?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
No, what are they?
Cane Corsos.
Those are Italian Mastiffs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're looking at one of them. Yeah.
You see it? They're puppies right now, but they'll be about 150 pounds. It was a COVID lapse of judgment, and I didn't get one, Adam. I got two.
Wow. And are they decent puppies, or are they chewing slippers?
No, they're amazing. They've been great. They have a trainer who's not Caesar, they're great. My kids love them. They're good dogs.
What are their names?
Rumlo is that guy. How you doing, pal? And Sophie is the girl. Yeah.
Cute.
Famously, or maybe not so famously, but when he was a neighbor of mine, Patrick Dempsey always had a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Oh.
Which is a big, scary dog that has fur that goes the wrong direction
like
along their spine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know if Patrick
still has those. Those are lion dogs. Those dogs. Yep.
Yeah, they use them to hunt lions.
Yeah. Jesus.
So it's Cane. I always thought it was a Cane Corso, but yeah, they're huge.
Cane is Italian for dog.
Oh, there you go.
It's an Italian Mastiff, yeah.
Of course, Frank knows that. So we've talked in the past about how Adam has been sort of anti-soap for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But now that, like, you know, pretty boy, you know, like very pretty celebrities like Matthew McConaughey and Ashton Kutcher, they're down with the cause too. It's all good. Well, it's not all good.
Mm-mm.
Apparently, you can be pretty and receive backlash about this. The college students in Ames, Iowa, greeted Ashton Kutcher with chants of "Take a shower." I'll show you in a second. The actor
Game Day is the best.
He grew up in Iowa. He appeared on Saturday on ESPN's College Game Day program to talk a little NCAA football. Many of the fans start tailgating early. They get crazy. Started mocking him. Oh yeah. So this summer, as we talked about before, Ashton and his wife Mila Kunis sparked controversy over how infrequently they force their children to bathe. And he said, if you can see the dirt on them, clean it up. Otherwise, there's no point. Just wash your armpits and your crotch. Here's how the fans greeted him when he was trying to talk about his new charity.
I'm working on a new charity project right now. It's called Outside Wine.
Take
the whole
a
idea
shower.
Is
Game Day is awesome.
At the end of the day, like, we can look at the data and
how hard would that be to ignore?
No.
Take a shower.
That's awesome. I love those drunken kids. See, they get a bad rap at the Rams' new stadium because they're fighting with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fans. Mm-hmm. But drunken fans can be a good thing.
If you ever want to go down a wormhole, look for the signs at Game Day. The signs are very creative.
That chant was a perfect example of how booze can be used for good in a football setting.
Yep.
They were definitely tailgating. They're definitely drunk. And yet there they were, bringing us so much joy.
Yeah. So just so you know, you're in good company. Are you guys familiar with Phoebe Waller-Bridge? She's been on SNL. Frank, you may be more familiar than these guys. She was the lead in that show that she actually wrote called Fleabag. It was a huge sort of success on critical success on BBC. Really funny. She was also in Broadchurch. She was had an arc in Crashing as Lulu, if that sounds familiar.
I liked Crashing.
So anyway, the reason I bring her up, there are rumors that she will be replacing Harrison Ford as the lead in the fifth Indiana Jones movie.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard ever, but okay.
I cannot wait for you to elaborate on that.
That maybe is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, so we know where Frank stands. I can't wait to hear more. An insider said the producer, Kathleen Kennedy, was looking to make a big change. It was announced earlier this year that she would star opposite Harrison, who will be 80, I think, next year.
I was going to say to Frank, like, Frank, I love his Indiana Jones probably as much as you do, maybe more, but, like, Harrison Ford's an old man. We, like James Bond, and he'd be retired at some point. Can have Roger Moore, you know, pretending to ski down the slopes.
No, but you can have Ashton Kutcher.
Right.
Okay.
No, here's the way I look at this. There are franchises, and the franchises sometimes, you know, Black Widow or something, they have a woman, and then Black Panther, right. They have a black man. Whitey gets a couple of franchises. Okay. We can't be mixing and matching. We can't
really
hop genders. We can't hop race.
Wait a second. So you wouldn't sign off on an Idris Elba, James Bond.
I'd consider it. I liked I Am Legend. Yeah.
When's the white man going to get a fair shake in this town?
No, but this whole thing of like we're going with a chick because we're going to reimagine. Indiana Jones should be a dude. Just find a young strapping dude and put him in that thing. We all know what happened with the Ghostbusters.
No, don't get on that road.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Come on. You know what? I just saw Harrison Ford. He looks great at 80. I think he could do one more.
All right. Well, I will find out next. I think July is when they're going to release that. So we talked about Dubai recently and how everything's bigger and better and shinier and glitzier. Well, the latest addition to Dubai's long list of the biggest and the tallest is now how they are crushing Vegas with the biggest Ferris wheel. And this is in the record books. Ain Dubai is a giant observation wheel that's been taking shape on the city's Blue Waters Island development for more than 6 years. It will open in a couple weeks, October 21st, and it will become the world's largest observation wheel. I think we have some pictures.
Can't wait till Vin Diesel jumps it in Fast and Furious 11.
More than 250 meters. It's 82 meters higher than the Ferris wheel in the High Roller in Vegas. It's almost twice the size of the London Eye, which towers over the Thames River. And Dubai's also home to the world's tallest tower, the highest restaurant, the world's highest infinity pool, the world's largest fountain show, the world's fastest roller coaster, and the world's largest indoor theme park.
Yeah, we get it. Labor's cheap.
Something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
They just made it on every terrorist's things to do list,
something
right?
Something bad will happen.
You ever been to Dubai, Frank?
No, I'm not on my bucket list.
Yeah, it seems like that's what you can do if you have endless amounts of money and you don't mind exploiting neighbor nations' labor.
Life's good in that case.
Yeah, but it also it starts to feel, oh, you know what? Maybe we should get rid of ugly American and go with ugly Dubaian.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Because I feel
ugly
like
the Emirates.
Well, they're far more ostentatious than
we're
are.
Giving up the mantle on the ugly American stuff. They're the ones that are getting gross
they're
and spending money for no reason.
Absolutely. But we are right behind them. Because we have a billionaire in our midst named
Mark. Can I say this, too, though? I wouldn't mind hiring a couple city officials and mechanical engineers from Dubai.
Oh,
no luck. We've been trying to get a fucking rail system in this town for 50 goddamn years. They'd be like, no problem. It was done this week.
How's your Saturday?
They've put up 7,000 structures and 200 million stories.
Oh, we've been debating
a
high speed.
They built man-made islands. Yes. We can't get a fucking monorail to go to LAX in that time. Like, I would love to get Garcetti and go, look, I'm going to give you a list of shit Dubai has done in the last 7 years.
In your turn.
Versus you. Dubai's built towers and pyramids and man-made islands and lakes, and they built giant Ferris wheels and indoor water parks and indoor skiing academies and everything. You've added 2,600 homeless.
Well, that's
and gas
fair.
Went up. That's
not
all
fair.
We got.
We've started an exploratory committee to start looking into the possibility of starting a rail to Lyon.
Yeah, and to be fair, our encampments are bigger.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Could we get some of those Dubai guys over here just to get the fucking ball rolling?
It's fair. So I want to tell you about this guy, billionaire Mark Lohr. He's outlined, now you may have heard about this, I'm just mentioning it now because there's a little more information. He's outlined his vision for a 5 million person new city in America, and you know, Dubai-esque maybe, appointed a world famous architect to design it. Now CNN reports that he needs somewhere to build it, and $400 billion in funding. But he's the former Walmart exec, and he's unveiled plans for Telosa, a sustainable metropolis that he hopes to create from scratch in the American desert.
Good.
And he wants it to be 150,000 acres. It's eco-friendly, sustainable energy production, and a purportedly drought-resistant water system. He also wants to call it a 15-minute city design. So it doesn't matter where you live, where you work, where the schools are. Everything's about a quarter-hour commute back and forth. Now, here are the places that are being considered.
Salton Sea.
Yeah, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, Arizona, Texas, and the Appalachian region. This is all where they're scoping out territory.
Well, anytime you fly, and we do a lot of flying, you just look down and it's like all you see is this open land.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, in the past, well, how could you utilize that open land? It gets to 120 degrees in the summer and the livestock and nothing grows and blah, blah, blah. But now that we're creating our own electricity and the desalination with the water and all the technology, there's no reason why we couldn't just do this. I mean, hell, when you look at Palm Springs, you're like, well, that was just flat out desert.
I mentioned the Salton Sea. That was a planned community. This was supposed to be upscale, right? Like, it was supposed to be a beautiful planned community.
Beautiful.
And it probably still could be. I mean, you have to clear out a lot of riffraff, but you know.
Is that a Val Kilmer movie?
There is Val Kilmer called The Salton Sea. DiNaprio's in that.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I get kind of freaked out by these really lush oasis communities in the desert, because if we're already in a drought, do you need like all of your palm trees and your grass as velvety as it comes?
Well, if you can produce water, then I guess
then
you can do whatever you want. If you're taking it away from nearby farmers in the whatever valley, then it's no bueno. And you know, I know these stories always have a sad ending because it's always turns. Some M. Night Shyamalan gets hold of this idea and it all goes south at some point. But after living in L.A. for as long as I've lived in L.A., I'd give it a try.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I no longer need personality in my environment. You know what I mean? Like people like, hey.
Consistency.
Yes. I want a P.F. Chang's.
I want to know what I want to get.
Yes. I'm tired of all the local color.
Yep. Olive Garden for days.
Olive Garden, P.F. Chang's stacked on top of each other.
Maybe a Sephora for the ladies.
Valencia.
Yes.
Go to Valencia.
Yeah.
You know how they rebranded Valencia. They call it Awesome Town.
That's
oh, they
right.
do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
That's awesome. The rebranding of Valencia. Awesome Town.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
The NFL's gay.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Frank Grillo, thanks so much for joining us. And
if
you want to see some cool cars, just hit me off the air and I'll arrange a tour for you.
And I'll send you some photos from Emilia Romagna when I'm with the Lamborghini family.
Nice.
Please. It would be my pleasure. All right. Great. Frank Grillo. Cop Shop, name of the movie, available, or I should say nationwide, this Friday. Let me tell you last but not least about LifeLock. Email phishing attacks and brute force attacks are the two most successful methods cyber criminals use for ransomware and extortion attacks on corporate networks. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
All right, we're going to be in Solana Beach outside of San Diego doing live podcasts and stand up there. That'll be September 22nd. Adam Ray's coming with us. And then I'll be in Chicago, Park West, doing stand up there September 24th. So go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina Grad, Frank Grilla, Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo. Hey, Dum Dum.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast. Easy listening. Bald Brian on the film. Bald the rest of us on the water cooler. And you can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Plus, get your tickets to see Adam Carolla live. They will sell out. They always do. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.